Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to grow and automate your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, your podcast coach, and this episode is all about podcasting and email. So if you're not currently using an email list to get more people listening to every one of your podcast episodes or to monetize your podcast by selling some type of product or course, whatever, then this episode is going to be really cool. I brought a guy on who is a foremost email expert, because I really don't know anything about email, to be totally honest. His name is Dan Banyuk, and his like bread and butter is taking people who are already making like millions and millions of dollars and helping them uncover a whole bunch of extra cash within their email list that they're not taking advantage of. So pretty much just like, here's this massive email list I have, but I'm not making any money from it. Dan comes in and helps them bring in just a whole bunch of extra cash just from their email list, if that makes sense. So we talked about using an email list to get more people to listen to every one of your episodes, like to keep reminding people that you're releasing weekly episodes. We also talked about how to get people onto your email list from your podcast. And when they get onto your email list, that's when you can start having kind of more of a sales dialogue. If you have like a course or a product or maybe a high ticket program, you can start building that relationship there. But I really do believe that it's essential to somehow get people off the podcast into a place where you can kind of like speak to them more directly. But yeah, not to say that you can't do that with podcasting, but I just think that it's better to have as many touch points as possible. And that's kind of what we talked about in this episode. So I hope you enjoy it. And as always, I want to invite you to my free online community. It's called the CoachCast Academy. It's hosted on the platform called School. It's totally free, but I've literally dropped things that have taken me like tens and tens, maybe even 100 plus hours to create. And it's all in there for free. So join. There's no risk. And we can talk there. You can get to know me and my fiance in there. And that's really the only thing that I want you to do. I want to see you. I want to have a place outside of the podcast where we can talk or just get to know each other a little bit. So join up in there. The link will be in the show notes for that. And enjoy the episode. Let's go. Okay, Dan, welcome to Oh My Pod. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We just found out that we're both Canadians and on the same side of Canada. Like, I literally think you're the first person I've ever met who's like not across the entire globe from me. So that's dope.
Yeah, it's always a rarity to meet Canadians. So
yeah. And you know, we're all working online. Like the people who I bring on here, we all have like these online businesses. And I think that just in general, it's like, people can be doing this from anywhere. And so, yeah, the idea of being like, you know, tied geographically to who you work with is just so like, you know, obscure to me. So, but it is cool to meet someone who's like closer. But first thing I want to ask you, man, is like, have you been on a podcast about podcasting before?
I have not. So this is the first for me. Yeah. So I'm super excited. I mean, I got so many ideas of what we can talk about. So yeah, I just know it's going to be a good one.
It's very meta podcast about podcasting, talking about podcasting. But yeah, so first of all, man, I just want you to give like a very brief, just like a description, very brief description of what you do. Just think of it as like, why should people trust what you say? Why should people, you know, believe in you? That type of thing. So just fire away.
Yeah. So, I mean, spent the last 3 years working and writing emails, running the emails for some of the biggest like 7-8 figure brands. Very recently just launched my agency and kind of brought on a small group of people, aka literally just two clockers, helped me out with sort of the growth side of it. And yeah, we're still working with a lot of these 7-8 figure brands. With one of them, you know, they came on board end of September. Towards the end of February, they hit their first $1 million generated through emails alone. So they were doing nothing with emails, which is kind of shocking. And then yeah, first million within about 5 months. So yeah, they're averaging about like $200K a month, just in extra cash that wouldn't have otherwise came in. So yeah, that's kind of like in a nutshell of what I do, is just very focused on the email side.
Okay, that's pretty freaking awesome. Just so you take a business that is not utilizing their list or just not utilizing email enough, and you essentially find the profit in there wherever it is by, I'm sure you do a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, is that kind of accurate?
Basically, yeah. The company name that I got is actually Hidden Profits. So it's like, it's very apt for the type of thing that we do, because a lot of businesses either don't use email or they just don't use it to its fullest potential. Like they might do things here or there and they just kind of ignore it because there's so much focus on like the front end stuff of like either ads or just organic content. But then they completely forget about the back end process of actually converting the leads that didn't buy right away. So
yeah. Okay, cool. So that's super interesting. I'm like, email is something that we currently don't use, but it's like, it's one of those things that's like on the back of my mind, like at all times. It's like, I know that there's something there. And even I've just been following you for a long time, and I know that it's probably an immense, like there's a huge opportunity there. But one thing that I've been like thinking about a lot is people are always asking how they can grow their podcast, how they can, you know, get new listeners and all these different things. And I know actually from one of our clients who has an email list of about like, let's say 50,000 people, I know that he said that the difference between when he sent out an email for his new podcast episode versus when he didn't was like a difference of thousands of downloads. And that immediately got me thinking, like, I think that there's a huge opportunity for people who have email lists already to either like use their email list and then start a podcast and like engage those people more in a longer form version of content. And so the main thing that I wanted to like pick your brain about was somehow, and I don't even have this formulated into a great question, but like somehow incorporating email with podcast to like stay always like involved with your people, if that makes sense. So I'm just gonna like leave you with that very vague statement/question, and essentially like let's brainstorm this together, because you're the email expert. I'm, if you want to call me that, a podcast expert, and I'm sure that we can figure some cool stuff out here.
Yeah. So most business owners that I've chatted with, doesn't matter if you're doing multiple six figures, multiple seven figures, multiple eight figures, you probably are collecting a list of leads in the form of emails. You know, especially if people are buying or they're booking calls, you're getting those emails safe. If you're not, then get started. Collect those emails, because that's, at the end of the day, it's its own media. So, you know, something, God forbid, happens on Facebook or Meta or whatever, you can still email your list. So you already have an asset full of people that trust you, that have opted in, you know, that want to hear from you, want to, you know, get more information from you. The thing I think I like, so what I touched on earlier is, whether you're running ads or you're running organic content, not everybody's going to buy right away. There's always going to be some kind of period of, you know, 3, 6, 12, 18 months until someone actually purchases. I've had multiple people reach out to me on Facebook and be like, hey, like I've been watching your stuff for the last exactly those time periods, like 3, 6, 8 months, and we're ready to go. That's the power that email has, is that you are able to always stay in touch with those people. Now, I'm not going to dive too deep into the strategy of like what kind of emails to send, but the best thing you can do is not only remind people of what you're offering, what you're selling, and the results that are coming from the people that are inside your community, but you also want to educate them and just entertain them in general. That's kind of like the rule of thumb. So when you're sending emails to your audience, you're constantly building that trust. But one thing that I started talking about more so last year, and now more people are talking about, is the idea of like omnipresence, is if people are just seeing your post once on social media, they're probably going to forget you by the end of the day. If, you know, if you're just receiving one email a day and that's it, that's all they're seeing from you, they're going to forget about you. But let's say you're posting on social media, you're, you know, maybe you're running ads, you have a podcast going, and you're sending emails. That's four different vehicles now, or five, whatever I just listed, of people being able to see you. Best part here is with something like podcasts, it's all audio. Like I constantly listen to podcasts, whether I'm cooking, eating, or I'm driving, like I'm always listening to something. But to fill the gap of when people actually have the attention to read something, that's when you come in. So many people are scrolling through social media, so you already filled that gap. On the email side, same thing. Email is one of the like most direct ways to get to the people that you want to convert. And I always call like your email is kind of like the inner circle, because people on social media, it's shotgun approach. You're going to get a whole mix of people, but people on your email list, there's higher intent there to actually purchase because they opted in through a training, lead magnet, whatever it is. So because there's that micro commitment for that lead magnet, you can build that micro commitment even more by being like, hey, here's a podcast I just released. What that does is it, first of all, entertains them during their, you know, cooking, cleaning, whatever it is. It educates them on whatever you're offering, but then it builds more trust. Like one thing that, and I'm sure you can confirm this because I'm just speaking from experience, is when I find someone that I actually like on social media and I find out they have a podcast, what I end up doing is I end up binging the podcast. Like I'll just listen to them. And that's the thing, is like, if you can get someone to that point, and then you're also getting them to read all your content, whether it's social media or email, you're showing up on all these different channels, all these different platforms. You create that omnipresence. All people are thinking about is you throughout the day. Wherever they go, there you are. So it's like one like study done. I don't remember where it's from, but it's something along the lines, like it takes 7 touches to actually make a purchase.
Right. I heard about that. Yeah.
That those 7 touches go by so much faster. If they listen to the podcast, if they read your email, if they see a social media post, that's 3 touches right there in a day. So the sort of speed that you can get to not only like grow your podcast, because if you have a massive list of people, that's a super easy way to just get a bunch of downloads, get a bunch of subscribes and grow your podcast that way. So not only does that give you sort of the motivation, the energy you need because you're not starting from scratch, but if you have a podcast, but you're not using your list, same thing, you know, just pitch it in your podcast. You're like, hey, I got an email list. I talk about this same sort of stuff in my email. I go into more depth than XYZ, whatever it is. So if you want to, you know, stay in touch, just subscribe. I've actually seen a couple podcasters. There's one prominent one, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a very common thing happening where multiple people are starting to create email lists. So they first started with podcasts, then they're creating the email list. And that's the thing is like, there is the difference between long form and short form content. Social media, all short form. It's just, like I said, shotgun approach, just get attention, get awareness. Long form content, your podcast, educates, builds trust. You become the authority in people's eyes because of the knowledge and the information you're able to share. And just like the life experiences and whatever else, the stories that you talk about. You got that front end attention. Now you're able to direct them to the back end of emails where you start to talk a little bit more about what your business does, how you like, what offers you got going, how you can help them, etc. But because they have so much trust in the front end from your podcast and your social media, once they jump on your email, might take like a few emails or just, you know, a few weeks, few months here or there. And before you know it, you're going to get buyers coming in, purchasing your program. And it's just like this constant flywheel effect of you're generating attention, trust, and authority on the front end, especially with a podcast. You're capturing those leads and profit, like monetizing from them in the back end. Because if you're getting all this attention, what's the point? You might as well monetize it. You're catching on the email side. You're monetizing it by now selling your program, your offer, whatever it is. And then, you know, not to dive deep any deeper, but from there on, if you're generating great results, now you have that like referral system going where people actually now start shouting your name from rooftops.
Yeah. So it's like, I think actually one thing that you said, like, in order for, because your podcast is still a like front facing, I don't want to say entertainment based, but it's not a place of selling. The podcast really should not be a place of selling. We even like, you know, you only want to use 1 call to action per episode and you kind of want to sneak it in there without somebody even really noticing, because the podcast is really supposed to feel, to them at least, like this altruistic, you know, free education space. But when then you, if you combine that with somehow getting them to your email list, in the email is where you can actually start expanding on some of the things that you offer. And so what I realized as you were saying that is it's like, it may be very difficult or even impossible to sell your course or your program or whatever you're doing, however you're trying to help people. It might be difficult to do that without actually collecting the email and then talking to them more directly in the email outside of the podcast. Because you don't want to be in the podcast and be like, every single, you know, episode multiple times, like, by the way, this is my offer, this is this thing, this is that thing. Like, I know that for the people who I listen to, the podcast that I listen to, I don't listen when they start talking about that stuff. And that's not what I want to hear when I'm listening to a podcast. So what I'm wondering is like, I'm wondering if there's some way that we can, like, what would be some ways that we could collect emails from people in the podcast? Because I know like the easiest one would be like offer some type of resource. You know what I mean? Like offer a lead magnet. So I mean, that's one that I can add in there, like create some type of lead magnet that works across multiple different topics that you're talking about. So something that's not super, super specific, but something that's, I guess, like a part of the service that you offer or something that you can give. And then collect emails that way. Are there like other ways that people can be getting emails from their podcast?
Creating a lead magnet is like the best way possible. I'm going to play devil's advocate and mention that if your podcast is very valuable and you tell great stories, you actually like have good information in there, you don't have to try and like sneak in your CTA or try to be like very stealthy about it. Like you, I know multiple podcasters are pretty upfront and blatant about their call to actions. The difference here is like, there's so many people I can imagine with podcasts that are like looking for sponsorships to, you know, make an extra money, a bit of extra money, whatever. But it's like, if you just have your own sort of call to action that's relevant. So I'm going to touch on like what kind of lead magnets you could possibly create. But when you create your own call to action, that's something relevant to what people want in your audience, like long term, that's going to be a lot more profitable for you and a lot more lucrative than having some of these, you know, sponsorships come here or there. I mean, sure, you know, they can pay quite a lot. But the point is, like, instead of relying on the sponsorships, you have your own asset, you have your own media that now you're in control of. You're not, you know, waking up one morning and be like, oh my God, I have no sponsorships reaching out. It's like, no, I can just do this CTA. I can just release this lead magnet. I know I'm going to get names. I know I'm going to get sales from those emails. Switching gears to sort of how to collect emails from podcasts, like I mentioned, lead magnets are going to be the best way. Because it's like a little teaser. It's a little test of like what it is that you offer. It's just like a freebie. The key here is everybody has different audiences in their podcasts, but you want to make it like target your ideal client. Like who exactly you want to target, who exactly you want on your email list. If you're an established business owner, you know, let's say you're in the high ticket space, you don't want to create some kind of, you know, I've been kind of ranting about this on my Facebook, but like, for example, you don't want to create a lead magnet about, hey, here's the top 10 apps to use for your, you know, to create a side hustle, make a couple extra bucks here and there. Screw that. Like that's not what you're
for your person. Yeah.
So create a lead menu that's super relevant to what your audience wants, that solves a very clear issue. But then obviously don't give away the farm on everything that, you know, so that don't give away the farm on solving that problem. Give them bits and pieces of it. But the lead menu is one of the best ways, like, to be honest, like, if you have a YouTube channel, sure, you can do it there. But if we're just directly, you know, speaking to growing the email list, like the lead magnet is the best way because you need to create some kind of opt-in and get people's information. Exactly.
Yeah. Just create something that people want and then grab it from there. And then once they're on that, I guess then people can have like their own sequence of things that they send from there. Like I literally don't know. I know like almost nothing about email, but I do know, like I mentioned before, like, you know, the client that we had, when he sent the episode to his email list, he got a whole bunch of like a way bigger response for his show. So what I'm wondering on that side is like, if somebody's got an email list, I think the majority of people listening will have some kind of list. Some might have quite big lists. Like, is it all in the subject line that depends on whether or not someone's going to go and actually click on the thing and then go and listen to the podcast episode? Like, I'm trying to figure out if I were to go to someone who has like 10,000 people on a list and I was going to, you know, release their first episode, you know, how would I get that the highest chance of getting people to actually go and click the thing? And what is like the average, like you can be very broad with that, but like what is the average amount, like the percentage that someone could expect if they have 10,000 people, like how many people of that are actually going to click on the episode and go and listen? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, 100%. So in terms of like the percentage of people, industry average is 1-2% click-through rate. So if you got 10,000 people, you know, what is that? My math is terrible. 100, 200 people.
Something like 100, yeah.
Yeah. Naturally, you know, not everyone's going to listen to like a long form podcast, but at the very least, you're still getting 100, 200 people coming on your podcast. So you're building that awareness. Not bad. But the thing is, here, like you release podcasts. I mean, everyone's schedule is different, but if you release podcasts every week or every month, whatever it is, send it out anyways, because this is the best part about podcasts and email is both channels build immense amount of goodwill. Because with podcasts, you're not constantly pitching your service or your offer. You might just pitch a lead magnet, but that's like, I wouldn't even consider that taking away from the goodwill, because you're actually adding more goodwill by giving them something else. Email side, same thing. I constantly consult clients of like, there's two sides here. I'm on the side of, you don't pitch every single day in your emails because it just loses its value. People stop paying attention, etc. And there's more to, like, you got to educate as well alongside of the pitch. If you're just constantly pitching, you're not really giving that much space for education or for like that relationship building to happen, because you're taking away from it. So your podcasts are a great asset to use in your email to educate your podcasts. And then your email is a great asset to use in your podcast. Same thing, to educate. So both ways, just like at any point, and you can send this out multiple ways. There's different ways that you can do this. To hit on your like subject line question, David Ogilvy said something along the lines of like, you know, your subject line, if you have like a dollar for your marketing budget, your subject line takes up 80 cents of that dollar.
So 80% of the, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
80% of your focus, like you can have the best email, you can have the best podcast or whatever, but you can have the shittiest title, but like no one's going to listen to it. So focus on the title of both your podcast and your email.
Yeah, your podcast episode too.
Exactly. To generate as much attention as you can. There's two ways to do this. One, you can be very direct with it. Be like, hey, I just launched my first, you know, podcast. Go listen to it here. Maybe you leave like a quick summary of like, here's some of the topics we talked about. Or the other one is you can almost draw it out a little bit. And there's, again, multiple ways to do this. One, you can either just think of some kind of story, some kind of lesson to share in your email that ties back to your podcast. So you talk about the story, talk about the lesson, and you're like, by the way, if you want to, you know, if you want to know more, if you, whatever, like I talk in more depth on this podcast episode, go listen here. Like you can even leave it as a bit of a cliffhanger there. So you add in like a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end where you're just like giving them just enough to get them curious to click the link. And then they can find out the rest on the podcast. That's one way. The other way too is like you can straight up use AI or whatever transcribing feature to transcribe your entire podcast. And you can probably take like a good chunk of that podcast, throw your email. Same thing, builds that curiosity and you don't have to like sit there and think of some kind of idea to write about. So that's two ways. It's either direct or more so indirect.
Yeah. So it's like the direct way is like, hey, like putting this out in the open, I did this podcast. Here were the key topics. And the other way is like content first. Here's this piece of written content, thinking about you, you know, here on Facebook or you here on my email list first. Check out this really cool story with this life lesson. And then if you enjoyed this and this, you know, hit home for you, there's like 45 more minutes of it on the full episode. So it's like, I totally like what you said between direct and indirect. The thing that I was thinking about while you were saying that is like on the topic of podcast titles, like of episode titles or of your subject line, I guess that's very similar, like email title, episode title. I say that that is like, again, like you said, like the single most important thing, because if somebody's going to debate whether or not they're going to be listening to your podcast, if they never listened before, the thing that they're actually going to scan is the episode titles. It's like your storefront. If they don't see an episode title that calls out a specific problem that they're struggling with or a specific question that they're asking, like if they don't see something like that and they don't see it within like the first 10, they're gone, man. And they're probably never going to come back. So do you have like, do you have a couple, of course you do, but it might just be like a random question that you weren't expecting, but do you have like a couple of tips for writing titles, whether it's a subject line of an email or a podcast title? Like a way to format it or like some best practices or just like a few key things that I could like leave people with?
Yeah. So curiosity is always the best way to lead. So that's like, if you're going to take away one thing, curiosity, like that's it. If you want to get a little bit more granular with this, when you tag both either curiosity and, you know, some kind of aspiration or benefit that your audience wants, or the opposite of curiosity or like end pain point, that's, you know, you got that there. That's sort of the framework at least. So, and if, better yet, like, so something I tell my copywriters is sometimes they'll have a great curiosity based subject line in the email, but then I'll read the email and like, for example, so it's like really heavy story, but then the subject line lacks the drama. We are so in tune and so drawn to drama that if you can just, and don't be like, don't make it clickbaity and then not pay it off in the podcast. But if you can inject that drama in the or in the title of the podcast, same thing. It's the same idea. You add in curiosity, but with the extra element of like that emotional reaction that they're going to get, plus the benefit or pain point that you're going to be touching on a podcast. So that's kind of like the framework that you can follow, because the curiosity and drama draws their attention, but then the benefit or pain point kind of gives them like the purpose of like, okay, I need to listen to this.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So it's like the curiosity piece, so like some type of like mystery, some type of like unanswered thing. And then you can either go with like, this is what you're going to love, or this is how it's going to help you, or this is the pain that it's going to help you avoid. Or so it's like there's, yeah. And I mean like something that I tell the people who I coach is like a question is always a good way to do it. Like just formulating the episode title as a question that you know your audience is asking. Pretty easy to know what your audience is asking, especially when like the people who listen to this, they've already done all of the ideal avatar, like, you know, perfect prospect work. They know exactly who their person is. And so it's pretty easy to ask a question or formulate a title as a question that person is asking. Or the other thing is like you said, like calling out some type of pain that they can avoid. Or another way that I tell people to do is like it seems like lists, just like people are just addicted to lists, like number of ways you can do X or number of ways you can avoid X. Like that seems to just be for whatever reason, right? Okay, so we're kind of coming down to like the time when I usually like to end it off, but I want to do one more kind of broad, like bigger picture thing. And that was just like podcasting and email and social media in general, like just the general like branding effect that this has and like omnipresence. Again, I don't really have like a specific question about that. Maybe I'm doing a bad job as a host, but I just feel like you, like the things that you said pre-interview, I wanted to like package that and then like have people hear it here. So just talk about like podcasting and just like branding in general and how podcasting is like an integral part of having a brand and what you're seeing at the top level people that you're working with and how they're using podcasting and stuff like that.
Yeah. So like I mentioned before, podcasting is a great way to educate and to build trust. There's multiple ways people do this. So typically the businesses that I've worked with that have done really well either have podcasts, YouTube channels, or books, or all three.
Really? Books too? It's all long form stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to really focus in on the business growth side of this as well, the brand growth. So like I mentioned, social media, short form, it's very shocking approach. You just capture attention. Cool. Whatever. But like people are not going to be like there's an exception, but people aren't as likely to drop $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 plus dollars if they're just seeing quick 10-second clips of you doing whatever. That's just to kind of make them aware. So if you really want to create like this whole awareness level of, it's like, you know, they're brand new, they're seeing your short form content suite, but if they want to get to know you a little bit deeper, get to know you better, podcast is a great way. And this is where podcasts, and same thing with emails. Email is really just like, it's just like a more recurring short form version in text, where that's where you get to share your stories, like your life, all the, you know, deepest, darkest secrets that you have, and actually like become vulnerable and create that connection with your audience. You get to educate them on the areas that you're an expert in. And then also like if you're bringing guests, it's just like, it's just added value. You're able to expand to different sort of markets and industries, or at the very least like sub markets and sub industries. So,
well, you could even, I'll just add one thing to that, because you could even, you know, bring somebody onto your podcast and they themselves have a massive list of people who they can send it out to. And then they can use email. You know, you might even be able to send them the transcript and use AI to kind of put it into an email template. And then they have all the info there. And you could be like, hey, like, here are the 7 key topics we talked about. Here was the main idea. Here's some like potential subject lines. And like, you know, go for it. Like, that's something that you can do, like make it painfully easy for the person to share an awesome email about the episode, in the way that you talked about it before, like the, you know, here's what we talked about, or the way that you talked about it before, where you could say like, here's a story, like, you know, some type of story, and I was just interviewed on this podcast and you can go and listen there. So I just wanted to add that in because that's a really good connection, man.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with that. But yeah, like going back to sort of the branding side of it is like, we're in a day and age where everybody can start a business. Everybody can start posting social media content. It's like the barrier of entry is so low. But what podcasting does, what even emailing does, like it's like the same thing. So many people ignore emails and it's just like a hidden sort of revenue center. But like podcasts especially, because it's long form, there needs to be like balance in the market. If people are only consuming short form content, like there needs to be that sort of like yin to the yang type thing. So if you do both, you're able to capture attention, then you're able to nurture it, educate it, and then get that trust going. So a lot of the biggest brands are because they're podcasting, because of the long form content that they have, regardless of whether it's YouTube and or podcast. But people like Hormozy, Patrick Bet David, you know, there's so many people out there that have podcasts. And at least whenever I listen to them, it's like you get a deeper understanding of what drives this person. It allows you to relate to them a lot more. And you, like, once again, you get an insight into how they think. And that's where your expertise really starts to rub off on people. So when it comes to a branding perspective, the people that have podcasts are going to have a much stronger and much loyal brand because people are able to connect with them and actually, you know, understand and have trust in their expertise. Whereas if you're just doing short form content, whatever, no one's going to care. And then same thing with email. It's like, you know, even if you don't have a podcast, but you have an email, it's the same thing I tell my clients too. Is like, that's also the area where people get to connect with you on a deeper level, because it's that one step further from the front end stuff that everyone gets access to. It's just like, this is just reserved to the people that are actually, you know, kind of qualified to be there. And it's kind of this whole self-qualification here. Like, they don't want to be there. They don't need to be there. So there's so many aspects to building the brand, but if you can just take care of short form content, you can take care of long form content, but then you have a way to actually monetize those things in the back end, then you're set. Like, you're ahead of most business owners that are just trying to, you know, run a couple ads or just post a couple reels just to generate lead flow. Like, I think so many people are underestimating long form because it's harder and it takes so much more effort. But people that have big YouTube channels, people that have big podcasts also have big businesses. And I don't think it's a coincidence whatsoever.
Yeah, there's an endless amount of, I'm so deep inside of this industry that, I mean, when you talk about Alex Hormozi, I know for a long time, like, I mean, his podcast is something that he keeps pretty quiet about. Like, he doesn't talk so much about or promote his podcast so much. But that thing has been going for 5 years with 3+ episodes per week. And you're talking about a guy who does not spend his time lightly. Like, he is very meticulous about how he uses his time, and his time is worth a lot. 3 episodes a week have been coming out on that podcast for 5 years. Gary Vaynerchuk is the exact same thing. Like, these are guys who are not just going around doing things because it's fun. I think that there's a threshold for people for podcasting. I think that podcasting makes a lot of sense at a certain level for your business. Definitely not at the very start. It's not like something that I would do to just start building awareness of your offer. But when you get to a certain point, I'm not going to attach it to any specific number of figures that somebody makes, but they'll actually know when the time is right. But you get to a certain point and it's like, not podcasting becomes the weird thing rather than doing a podcast. Like, not having one becomes something that just doesn't make any sense. And I think the other thing that you said about, like, being able to connect with the person on a deeper level, it takes you from just being somebody who's selling stuff online to being somebody that people actually follow and look up to. You know, they learn about your routine. They learn about what you eat for dinner. They learn about who, you know, what type of people you hang with. They learn about things that turn you into an actual, I don't want to say like famous person, but like a person worth, like, you know, listening to. And podcast, and you know, and if you just want to run your business and kind of be in the background, I totally respect that. But when it comes to building a brand, like podcast, which then goes into a YouTube channel anyways, is like, it's just such a no-brainer. But again, I think a lot of people listening know that, but the idea of, like, I just know that people listening have an email list, and a lot of these people haven't even considered taking their episode, turning it into a story or into a, you know, 5-point breakdown, putting a killer subject line on it, and then running that every single episode to their email and just driving that, nurturing their email list with long form content and providing value to the email list, but at the same time, getting more listeners to the podcast, and then having the podcast episode with a resource that collects emails for the list. And you've kind of got this piece where you're showing up everywhere for people. And at the end of the day, if you are doing something that really helps people in some, you know, whatever way you're helping people, then showing up in all these ways and constantly feeding these people as much content as possible is the best thing you can do for them. So I think like on all fronts, combining podcast with email is just like a complete no-brainer. And I guess it'd just be a matter of like building the list. And that's like a whole other thing. I have no clue, you know, like my business is not at the level yet where like I have a big list or anything like that. But honestly, man, like I'd love to get your insights on this coming from a completely different side of business. And I know that you've helped people who are making immense amounts of impact and immense amounts of money. And so it's great for me to be able to hear you say like, podcasting is a no-brainer for branding and for high-level business people. So I guess that's kind of it, man. If you have anything else like that you would like to throw in at the end, I give people like the space to like put them on the spot if you have anything else to kind of add in.
No, I mean, just the last point I'll make to this is that it's all about growing your credibility at the end of the day. It's, once again, it's about separating yourself from everyone else. Long form, when was this? Maybe I got into the space around 2019, 2020. And I remember at the time they were talking about like, oh, short form, like video content, it's going to be the craze. now I think the pendulum started to kind of swing towards the long form stuff of like, I got a couple clients that actually have YouTube channels going, they're starting their YouTube channels. I got, you know, I know quite a few people are actually wanting to start their podcasts. It's something that I want to do in the future because it's all about getting your face out there. It's about getting your brand out there. It takes a whole different caliber of person to run a podcast, to write a book, to run a YouTube channel compared to just like, oh yeah, let me just release a couple reels. So like I said, it's all credibility. So yeah, I think the pendulum is swinging slowly, but the key here that I'll just leave everybody with is like, yeah, I mean, like adopt the change of long form, like separate yourself. But the key is to actually monetize this. Cause if you're just running it for the sake of running it, it might be fun, you know, but you might as well, like if you're building all this goodwill, you might as well like convert it into actual cash on the back end.
Yeah. Have some way that people can, and I mean, you really touched on it earlier. Like I believe that sponsorships, unless you have a massive audience, are like just a complete waste of time. But you know, even if you have 100 people listening to each episode, like that's 100 people in a room essentially listening to you for an hour. Like have your own course, have your own offer, your own product. And I mean, have an offer that costs 15 grand and then you only need to convert one out of those 100 people. And, you know, you've just paid off all of your podcast work for the next few months. And you know what I mean? So it's like, whereas with a sponsorship, it's like getting 15 grand from a sponsor. Do you know how many ads you'd have to place with so many listeners for that to even come close? And at the end of the day, then all you're doing is directing more attention to the person whose ads you're playing. You're not growing your own. Like, I mean, I could go on and on about that. You totally get that. But anyways, man, that's great. A whole bunch of awesome stuff that you had in there. I really thank you for the time. I know you're a busy guy. And yeah, that's it, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. This was great.